Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. Now, most of you are probably old enough to remember that that was Private Gomer Pyle, United States Marine Corps, who would close his eyes and with that broad smile creasing his face, Jim Nabors would weave his head and shoulders back and forth as he would utter that phrase. Surprises always pleased Gomer. He accepted surprises as gifts. Maybe that was because, well, you see, in the program, he was very easy to surprise. He was naive and rather simple. His heart was pure. It always assumed the best in, expected the best from people. And even when people or the world around him, for that matter, didn't meet his expectations, he was always able to put a positive spin on it. If you remember the program, his foil, Sergeant Vince Carter, never liked surprises. He liked order, neatness, predictability. He did everything in his power to prevent and avoid surprises, even good ones. So consequently, he was never prepared for the surprises that life inevitably threw at him. And with Gomer Pyle in his platoon, those surprises came fast and often. Well, the gospel lesson on this first Sunday in Advent, if you will, calls us to sort of channel our inner Gomer Pyle and to prepare ourselves for the greatest surprise of all, so that at one day we can receive and celebrate that surprise as a gift. Now this morning, I would ask that you would allow me to introduce you to a new word. Vicissitudes. Can you say that? We have somebody shaking your head. Can you say that? Vicissitudes. It's a great word, okay? And I love to use it because it's a very old word, even if you've never heard it before. In fact, George Washington used it in his first inaugural address. And I kind of like to use it because when I use that word, it sort of makes me feel smart. Right? Vicissitudes. But it means changes. In particular, it means the changes that happen in the normal events or happenings of life. The many and varied changes that come through maturation or growth or development. Changes that we should expect, but somehow always seem to manage to sort of catch us by surprise. The vicissitudes of aging, for example. I mean, I have to write out more of my sermons and sort of have them better organized because my memory is not as sharp as it used to be. And I have to work harder to take off weight, because it's easier than ever to put it on. The vicissitudes of parenting required me to slap a smile on my face and stand on the porch while waving goodbye to my kids as they moved out, but my heart was breaking that they were leaving home. I had to learn to watch them make mistakes and then to be there after they fell. And there's nothing that we can do about it. Life is full of vicissitudes. I mean, all you have to do is look at the front page of any newspaper, USA Today, the LA Times, the Register. It's raining. No, it's snowing. Oh, no, the sun's out. Oh, no, the sun's gone. Surprise! Or the Dow is up, No, it's down. No, it's up. Well, it's down again. Surprise. And governments that we thought were sound are in fact corrupt. And governments we help turn their back on us. Surprise. Companies we trusted have cheated us. Food we trusted is bad for us. Beverages we loved turn out not to be good for us. Surprise. The country is becoming more liberal, then it's becoming more conservative, then it's becoming more liberal, and there we are again. Surprise. New medical advances are becoming commonplace. Every time we eradicate one drug from our neighborhoods, another new designer drug takes its place. The vicissitudes of modern life crash in upon us, and they wash over us, unbidden, uninvited. And some we enjoy, and others not so much. Now, psychologists tell us that the changes and surprise can sort of add spice to life, and that we tend to thrive when we know what to expect. And so the problem is this: animals in a laboratory do very well when they know that they're going to be rewarded for pulling a certain lever, and they are going to be punished for pulling another lever. And so they learn pretty quickly that if they pull A, they get a reward, B, they get a zap, if you will, and they pretty soon concentrate on A. But when you take the predictability out of the equation, when we make rewards and punishments random, the animals soon become fearful and they refuse to approach either lever, and eventually they simply refuse to move at all. Now, fortunately, we are not animals in a laboratory. We are humans, and we can handle a certain amount of randomness, a certain amount of surprises in our lives. In fact, I think we tend to do better, to live more fully, more authentically, when there is some unpredictability, some spontaneity to our daily lives. The key to enjoying the pleasant surprises and mitigating the unpleasant ones is to be ready for them. And as much as that sounds like an oxymoron, you have to be prepared for surprises. You have to be looking for them. This is true not only when you consider the vicissitudes of everyday life, but even when we consider the deeper things, the things of the spirit, the things of the soul, the things of our relationship with God. In fact, it may be even truer at that point. On this first Sunday of Advent, we kick off the season of waiting and the season of expectation. And today's Sunday is called the Sunday of Hope. Now, we know that Jesus is returning, not just at the end of time, but in every time. Jesus is constantly knocking at the door of our lives, asking us to let him in. And our responsibility, especially in Advent, is to be listening for the knock, because it comes when we least expect it. Matthew, using this symbolic, poetic language of his time, said it something like this: "It can come when we are eating or drinking, or when we are at a wedding reception, when we're laughing, when we're dancing. It can come when we are at work in the field or the factory or the office. It can come when we're in school, when we're simply sitting around. It can come when things are going well or badly, when we are sick or when we are well, when we are happy, when we are disappointed, when we're up, when we're down. You know, I think I've shared for you with you before how quick my son's tongue can be. He did stand-up comedy for a while, and he's very acerbic at times. And I remember once I had an accident where I backed into a light post in a parking lot. And so I was recalling the story to him, and I said, yeah, I didn't see it. The post was in my blind spot. Your blind spot, he said. Yeah, I insisted, it was in my blind spot. He said, and by blind spot, you mean the place that you weren't looking? I said, yeah, that. Grace, Matthew says, always strikes us in our blind spot. That is, in the place we aren't looking. And even at the time when we aren't looking. This week, Matthew reminds us that the grace of God always comes as a shock. Even when we know it's coming, it can still catch us unawares. The prophets alerted us to it. Jesus spoke to it. He awakens us to it. The church prepares for it. History tells us about it. And like the other vicissitudes of life, it still manages even today to catch us by surprise. If we would receive grace in all of its power, with all of the benefit that it provides for our lives, we would do well then to work at being prepared, to wake up, to look around, to illuminate the blind spots, to take some time to be ready to receive the grace of God, which is going to break into our lives when we aren't looking. You know, fortunately, Jesus tells us how to prepare for His coming. His instructions are found in the very first words He speaks at His baptism with John. Matthew speaks about them, but Mark tells us a little bit more fully what took place. He says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. The first question that comes to us in Advent and comes to us today is when, and Jesus gives us the answer, it's now. Jesus is coming. And if this pronouncement, this prophetic word is going to speak to our lives today, it is, if it is to open a door to real Christian living, then the answer can only be, well, Jesus is going to come at the end of time. The kingdom of God breaks forth every day into our lives. It's right in front of us. And Jesus calls us today to look and to see what it is that God is doing. It's the love of a mother for her infant child. It's the laughter of a teenager. It's the affection of a husband and wife for each other. It's the sacrificial living of a missionary doctor. The kingdom of God is in the courage and the hope and the vision of those who remain in the mission field long after the crisis is over. It is in the simple lesson of a Sunday school teacher or in the complex ruminations of a seminary professor trying to impress his first-year students. Grace is striking all around us. It comes in the forgiveness of one who is sorely wronged. It comes through the helping hands of those who have themselves needed help. It comes in a gift that's given without thought of repayment. it comes in the form of a favor that's given without even being asked. It comes in those random acts of kindness that are given anonymously as a gift. But if we aren't awake to them, we will miss them. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is at hand. In church, at work, in the classroom, in the field, in the mall, at home, the grace of God breaks into lives, waiting for nothing and yet transforming everything. The only question left is then, how will we get ourselves ready? How will we prepare ourselves for this life-transforming breaking in of God's grace? Again, Jesus simply says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is with repentance and faith that we best prepare ourselves for Advent and for the Advent, if you will, the coming of Jesus into our hearts and lives. You know, by repentance, it means, first of all, that we give up our false gods, our idols, our reliance on ourselves, our worship of those things that we can buy. We turn away from separation and estrangement, our old hurts and grudges, and we walk away from things that keep us from loving and forgiving others. And we decide to do it. And then we do it. We toss out the old attitudes that separate us from God and God's children. We throw away those attitudes that get in the way when we only look at the color of the skin or the sound of an accent or the style of clothing or the size of a paycheck or the location of one's home. If we have two coats, Jesus challenges us to give one to our neighbor. And we do the same with food and with shelter. In these Advent days, we make a real effort, a real and sincere effort to live according to what we need and not according to what we want or what advertisers are telling us we want. We turn our back on ways of living that are destructive, that are consuming, that are decadent, that are violent, that are wasteful, that are just plain selfish. And we turn toward those ways that are kind and gentle and loving and forgiving and peaceful and nurturing. In other words, in these days of Advent, we turn away from the world and we turn our hearts back toward Jesus. And when we step out in faith, we gamble. We resolve to live by the power of Jesus in our lives, regardless of the outcomes. We take the risk that even though Christ's way is the right way, we may not see the payoff, or it may not be what we expect. But we accept that the reward for living with Christ and living the life that Christ offers us is not in this world, but it is in that which is yet unseen. That place where the blind do see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the poor are blessed. And so, in short, we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ, the coming of grace, the coming of God into our lives, as though it's already happened. You know, a Pacific Islander told the anthropologist, "We do not dance because we are happy. We are happy because we dance." Likewise, Christians do not receive God's grace because we live by faith. We live by faith because we've received God's grace. We've received and will receive. That is the word of hope. That is the word of this first Sunday in Advent. that the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. And so repent and believe the good news. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.